I was born, raised in the West Indies. You know, therefore, like most West Indians, a la Colin Powell, I was born a conservative, and I've been recovering ever since. I'm the strange little hybrid creature of the new world, the old world. I'm African as far as I'm concerned, because of where my roots are. I'm American in the big context of that word American, not the puny, tiny, small context it has come to represent. I'm European based on having Scottish grandparents. I'm English based on the education I had. I'm Latino based on where my grandmother and one grandfather came from. And I was raised to believe there's nothing wrong with that. I was told at my dining room table, my dinner table, you know, without the electricity, but with the hot piping food and stern lectures from an old grandfather, that was a fabulous thing to be. It was great to be able to enjoy Cuban jazz and yet want to read Dickens, to love Elvis and yet to love Calypso and still know who the hell Picasso was. There was nothing wrong with that. That was encouraged at my dining room table. And I was told that was the heart of what globalism was. You would think that I would be eating this idea of globalism up, but I'm not. I don't know what that word means anymore. I don't know what globalism should mean, might mean, could mean in the present society. The only thing it appears to stand for anymore is the idea that an American businessman can pay a teenager in the Philippines, you know, 5 cents a day to make Nikes so American kids can walk around the streets in them, and then turn around and resell to the Philippines, you know, repackage rap music, allegedly from the American ghetto. And then we all sit around and pretend we're one big connected society, which we are not. We're further apart now than we have ever been before. We're just a lot better at buying McDonald's. That's it. That's all globalism has become today.
Hmm.
I should be able, you would think, in an era of globalism, to see that world my grandfather kept telling me to go see, go enjoy. God put it there for you, girl. Go get it, you know. Go see it. It doesn't work that way. Things are tighter than they've ever been. I can't put this into fancy language, so I'll just say it in plain, simple terms. You can't get in here, here being America. You can't move around in here. There is nothing but fear and suspicion on the ground level, and Europe, you know, is slowly becoming the United States of Europe as well. It used to be you could count on this notion of jobs that real, quote-unquote, Americans didn't want. There was almost a secret code that folks were needed to come here without papers, without their green card, to clean those toilets, wipes those kids' behinds, stuff like that. Now, no one's even hiring for those jobs anymore because, you know, we might be the wrong God-worshipping heathens looking to do damage or threaten Mr. Ashcroft's national security, quote-unquote. Even that seems to be disappearing. Even that little small portal to globalism appears to be disappearing.
Amber, you live inside this country but outside the gates in a certain way of the society itself. What's it like to deal with the sort of the dark side of INS restrictions all the time?
You mean I can't mail a letter in the main post office of the city I've lived
in for
15 years? Because I don't have a Massachusetts ID and a social security number. And I've tried to go to Boston Housing to report a landlord who is malicious. They will not let you in without that number. And either you leave right away or you sit there and you try to invent a lie, make up a lie.
Amber, you say it's tough to get into the society, but what about into the conversation, into the culture?
Yes, the great national and international debates and dialogue of our day. I'm supposed to
pretend. Are you sneering?
Yes, I am. I'm supposed to pretend at this stage that, you know, the microphone has gotten bigger, or it's being passed around to more people, but that's a lie. You know, the microphone has not gotten bigger. The conversation has not gotten bigger. It is not being passed around to any new or different voices. It's the same people, the same voices, at the same seats, at the same table. It's Rupert Murdoch, it's Bill O'Reilly, it's the New York Times, it's the Washington Post, increasingly all saying the same thing, full of sound and fury and signifying nothing on
saying
the ground
what,
level.
Saying what, Amber?
Representing their interests, the interests of the comfortable, the interests of those in power, the interests of the satisfied. They sure as hell don't represent the interests of those on the streets of Palestine or Roxbury or Detroit or Brixton. Those voices are being closed out even more. Those voices don't even have the option to protest and have it reported on the NBC Nightly News the way it actually happened. Those voices are becoming more and more frustrated. That is globalism. You know, there's a reason why Africa to Mr. Brokaw, Mr. Jennings is nothing more than the place incubating AIDS or Ebola. It's not a place to go look for the African version of Dickens, you know. That's globalism. Wouldn't it be great if Americans could look at Africa and see a place, and I'm using Africa solely as an example, could see a place with millions of human lives, rich lives, diverse lives, interesting lives, lives that want to read and learn about Sigmund Freud and William Shakespeare, lives that might be the next Sigmund Freud or William Shakespeare, lives that could teach America and Americans so much. Wouldn't that be great if that was part of this globalism? Shakespeare and Port-au-Prince, debating Freud in Beijing, loving Billie Holiday in Berlin, eating jerk pork in Moscow, that's my idea of globalism.
Hmm.
We would be enjoying what it means to be human at its core, to be global, to be us.